Wilson toward the end zone. It is caught. Seattle's going to the Super Bowl.
It's off the Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
Pass around the boards to the blue line, taken by Benny. Ryan Benny, his pass in front of Gretzky, scores!
Jordan, open, Chicago with the lead!
The Red Sox are world champions!
Hello and welcome to the final edition of the NFL Show of 2020. I am your host, Darimar, and I am joined by two of the three lesser-known members of the Avengers, Fionn Molloy and Jake Woolhead. Yes, this is the last podcast of what has been a quite forgetful year for so many reasons, but the NFL is not one of them. Thankfully, things have gone smoothly with the season so far, barring a knot issue here and there. There has been so many highlights and a few lowlights, but lads, I want to know, what has your highlight and lowlight been of 2020 in the NFL?
I think my highlight definitely has to be that fumble recovery that I think the football team was against the Giants, and it must have been like a 30-yard fumble backwards. Everybody was jumping on it. The ball was bouncing all over the place. Who recovered it? Nobody knew. Yeah, that was one of my favorite moments. It was the funniest play I'd seen probably in a few years. I thought that was brilliant. And then I think the lowest for me has been the seemingly meteoric rise of the football team in the NFC East. It is not looking good for the NFC East in years to come.
Well, mine is kind of along the same lines as you, Jake. My favorite moment of this season came at the very beginning of the season, the very first game out of the blocks. We had that football team gigantic comeback against the Eagles, and at that stage it was the nobody first, second, third pick in the draft Washington football team versus the potential NFC Super Bowl representatives in the Eagles, and we really laid it to them. So that really gave me a good spark to join out. I think my worst moment this season only ended, I think, last week, where we had that really long run of no offensive touchdowns for quarter after quarter after quarter. I think in general, the offensive play this year has been the biggest disappointment for me.
Some really, really good highlights and lowlights. I think for myself, probably a highlight is actually sticking in the AFC or the NFC East, and it's got to be Alex Smith's comeback. I mean, that's definitely a highlight of the year so far. I also want to give a props to the league in general for how they've actually battled COVID-19 and how they've been able to keep games going. And adding to that, the actual virtual draft, which I thought was quite good this year. I mean, that was definitely a highlight, which is something they could maybe revisit again. But I think once this is all cleared up, we would prefer to have crowds again, because that is one of my lowlights, is not having crowds in the stadiums. We've definitely missed hearing, especially for the Seattle side, hearing those 12s go mad at every home game, putting QBs off, but especially in every other stadium as well. You do miss seeing the fans there. Seeing little pockets here and there in the stadium just doesn't count for me. So we have, that's pretty much my highlights, my lowlights this year. Some good ones from you too. We have a packed show actually for you today, because we're going to be talking about game week 18 that will be happening in the NFL from 2021. And we'll talk in depth about the playoff scenarios heading into this weekend's action. Of course, this is game week 17, the last of the regular season games. And we'll give our predictions for all of game week 17. Now, don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ASI podcast. We are on Twitter at ASI_pod. And we're on Instagram at ASI podcast, where you'll see who we picked as our teams of the week, our AFC and NFC team of the week. One more thing as well. If you are listening to us on our ASI channel, make sure that you don't look out for that next week, because from next week, our show will be exclusively on the Dynamo Podcast Network. So make sure you are subscribed to that so you can continue to listen to the NFL show every Wednesday or Thursday, whichever day we can get it released. But we'll talk about our first topic this week, and it is the NFL's plans to add a 17-game season for all teams. This is mostly to generate more cap room for teams, because the way things are going this year, it looks like the cap is going to be taking a massive hit for the 2021 season. Currently, it is at 198.2 million. Projections at the moment are saying 2021 season will be 175 million. So that's a big, big drop. So a lot of these changes that are coming in 2021 are to help to sort of maybe get the not get the hit as bad as people are fearing. So schedule wise, we're looking at everything's just going to move a week later in terms of playoff and Super Bowl. So traditionally, Super Bowl is the first Sunday of February. It'll be maybe the second Sunday, and everything else will be pushed back in that order. No sort of other news on sort of schedule changes in that sense. We've been told that it'll be an interconference game. This extra game will be so AFC versus NFC. We have a strange one as well. We don't know about preseason games. Are they going to get cut to just three games? Could get cut to maybe just two games. We don't know. There's going to be no extra buys. There are rumors circulating that this extra game will be an excuse to get every team in the NFL to play an overseas game. So obviously we have, I think it's four games we have in London each year now at the moment.
Yep,
three in Spurs and one in Wembley. Well, that was planned for this year. Obviously, due to circumstances, they couldn't do that. So there are looking at other countries. Mexico, they still play in as well. There's Canada, Germany, maybe Ireland. They play college games here. If they could get the GAA to agree to maybe Crow Park for one date a year, you never know. But look, that's wishful thinking. But lads, I'll start with you, Fionn. Let me know what you think. What do you think this could be a good idea or a bad idea for a 17-game week season?
I definitely don't think it's a bad idea. I think pushing on the games, I'm sure the players' reps and all those agencies are going to be not so happy about having to play an extra game. It's injury worries. It's this kind of thing. But I think it does open up, obviously, as a fan, we want to see as much football as possible. And there's some interesting things you could do with it. Darry, you mentioned maybe going abroad more to some different venues if you have every team with an incentive to move on. What I think would be really cool to do and wouldn't take that much planning would be, as you mentioned, it's going to be interconference. So what if we set up a AFC, NFC ranked all the way down as it already is during the season, and the number one seed plays the number one seed and the number two seed plays the number two seed. And that continues all the way down. So now all of a sudden, you have two teams playing last game of the season, and those bubble scenarios are going to be really, really competitive, because you're going to have essentially two teams in the same scenario playing against each other in the last game of the season. And look, American sports and the NFL loves these win and you're in, do or die, last ditch. It gets the fans involved, it gets bums in seats, and it gets ad revenue and TV revenue in for the league. So I think that's something really interesting they could do. Develop a lot of interesting matchups. It not necessarily a preview of the Super Bowl with number one seed against number one seed, but it can definitely generate some not just interesting matchups, but also nice little wrinkles and complications into the season that can keep the fans interested right to the very end.
Yeah, I think you said it really well there, Fionn. I think that is a brilliant idea for the 17th game. But I think the NFL really likes to focus on having these interdivision matchups in the last weeks, because as we could see, and as we're going to talk about later on in the show, the NFC East, like a huge implications here on this weekend coming. So I think they would like to keep that in the final week, but maybe they do that on the 16th week or the 17th week or something like that. Cause that's a brilliant idea. One of the other things I was thinking about is the preseason games. Are they going to remove one game? Or are they going to keep four? How are they going to do it? No NFL player, bar the fringe players, really want to play in the preseason. So it's kind of like, should they move it? It's not a big money maker either for the teams. But for me, more football is good football. I'm not going to ever argue. I watch the preseason every year, even though I hate it. So like, more football for me, I just love watching it. I'll watch any game, anytime. So bring it on. Bring it on.
Yeah, I don't know about preseason. I think the rumor is that like if they have that extra game week, they'll get rid of a preseason. So that could be down to three. Like you're saying, it's not much of a moneymaker preseason games, because stadiums are half empty most of that time anyway. So I don't know if that's even if that's even a good idea. Now, I had an idea for it, and I kind of took a leaf out of the NBA's book and how they can do it, because in the NBA, they have their two conferences, East and West, the same as obviously in NFL, obviously AFC, NFC. But what is, most teams actually make a playoff in each conference. So what my change would be would have most teams make a playoff in the NFL. So the first thing I would do is I cut the preseason games to two. So you have your two preseason games, you have a week off, and then you go into your regular season. I would not use the extra game week as a regular season game. I would use it as a playoff game. And how I would do that is this. So like I said, you increase the number of teams that can make the playoffs. So at the moment, it's 7 from each conference. I would change that to 12 from each conference. So that means only 4 teams per season will not make the playoffs. So you have to be really bad to not make the playoffs. So at the moment, there's only 1 team from each conference that can make a bye. I'll change that to each divisional winner can have a bye week in the playoffs. So whoever wins that conference will have a bye. And then that means there'll be 8 wildcard teams. So then the 8 teams with the next best record will then be going into playoff weekend and they'll face each other. So an example, I've done it out for this season, how the standings currently are. So start with the AFC. So the 4 current division leaders, because I know some divisions haven't been settled yet, are the Chiefs, the Bills, the Steelers, and the Titans. So they're 1-4 seeds, okay? So they would all get a bye for the first week of the playoffs. Then in the wild card weekend, I'd have 5th against 12th, 6th against 11th, 7th against 10th, and 8th against 9th. So that'd be the Dolphins against the Broncos, the Ravens against the Chargers, the Browns against the Patriots, and then the Browns? I got that right. Yes, the Browns against the Patriots. And I think I missed one there. But you can see which way I'm sort of going at with that. And the NFC is the Packers, the Saints, the Seahawks, and currently Washington are leading their division, so they would have a bye in theirs. And then the same with the other one would be the Bucks against the Lions, the Rams against the 49ers, the Bears against the Vikings, and the Cardinals against the Cowboys. And then, obviously, whoever it comes through them will then face, so the lowest remaining seed would face the first seed in the next round of the playoffs, and that's how we get to our Super Bowl decider in obviously the second week in February. But guys, what do you think? Would you like to see something like that adopted?
I think it's interesting, Derry. You're going to have to come across an argument that's being made at the moment in certain camps with the playoffs as they stand at the moment. And would you do, once the playoff teams are selected, are you going to re-seed them? In other words, Washington is going to be a division winner, but they're going to have a terrible record compared to half of the other teams in the playoff. Are you going to weigh a division championship so high that they get a free pass every year, or are you going to seed it and say the top 4 teams all get buys?
No, it's always division winners. Always division winners will be the 1-4. Like the current system is now.
That division winners are so valuable, I think, in that scenario.
Exactly. Because obviously it makes it easier for you to get into the playoffs. But it's just like you're saying, winning that division is so important. So that, like, if that, where Washington could have, I think they could finish, what, with a 7-9 record, is it? Possibly.
I think so. Yeah.
And still win the division. And they still get their bye week. And that means they'll still always be 40, though they're still always going to host a playoff game. But like that, they'll probably come up against the current 5 seed, the Bucks, if they were to beat the Lions, who would be our current 12 seed in their wildcard game. So, yeah, it would still go by the NFL rules of seeding against playing teams in playoffs, but just more teams can make the playoffs. And then, obviously, it just makes the division, winning your own respected division, all the more important.
Yeah, I like the idea, but I think for me, though, that's too many teams. It kind of becomes playoffs. It's just almost a given nearly if 4 teams from each conference aren't getting in. Now, I do like it. I'm a big fan of the division system, so leaders of the division obviously should get that extra bit of, like, gifting, if you want to say it that way. But I think if you said it was 7 now, is it?
So 7 currently, 4 division winners and 3 wildcards.
So maybe 9 or 10, that would do it for me, I think, because I don't want the playoffs just to be kind of become a thing where you just get it and you're in if you play somewhat okay. It should mm-hmm. still be something that teams need to be good to do, not just walking into it, as you said. But I am a big fan. I think that would be a good idea to use that extra week, would be to give an extra like playoff, because like huge amounts of TV viewership and stuff for that, for watching playoffs. Everybody loves them. It gives a little bit of excitement. There's a lot to root for, a lot to root against in the playoffs. So I'd be a big fan of something like that.
Yeah, I like that. That's what, sorry, Fiona, I was just going to say that the viewership obviously is quite high in the regular season of the NFL anyway. But yeah, like you were saying, it takes that step up when it goes to playoff time as well.
And I think it's an excellent idea for more competitive games. Like we mentioned before, these win in your in scenarios, this like one game, like no series, it's not a regular season game, it's knockout now. But for some reason, the NFL, as it is built now, I think will struggle to adopt that, because they've really tried to move themselves away from this Cinderella storyline. They really have focused on best of the best has to win, or should at least be given every chance to win. And I think if some of our listeners are familiar with, say, the college basketball scenario, where it is literally every team gets in, it's completely seeded, every round is reseeded, and just the best team plays the worst team every time. You get these middle teams that go on these crazy long runs into the quarterfinals, even semifinals. So I think definitely at the boardroom level, I can imagine that the NFL have definitely discussed something like this, of more playoff games. And for some reason, I think they're just against it, in that they don't want to give those, like the Washington football team or a team with this kind of record that gets into the playoffs, they don't want to give more and more of those teams a shot to fluke, for want of a better word, their way to the playoffs. So if you get Mahomes on a bad day, like we said, and you happen to play a ridiculous game. Personally, I like the idea. I think it's a great idea. Why not have these Cinderella stories? Jake, you mentioned a great point. Keeps people involved. The NFL is pushing much more towards this gambling aspect these days. It's certainly going to drive that, I would imagine, where guys are willing to take punts and the odds are a little bit changed, and you're going to look at it. Injuries after a long season. I definitely agree with you, Dara, that I wouldn't add in any extra rest weeks necessarily. So now you're seeing some of these middle teams that normally might make a playoff push are now going, okay, now I have to play an extra game. Do I have a guy injured from the last round? Now I'm playing a little bit of a higher seed than I would have normally. So it'll definitely open up a whole range of scenarios that are new and interesting for both the teams and for the viewers and for bettors as well, which is all good. But like I mentioned, I'm, for some reason, the NFL seems to be against this idea of Cinderella stories.
I like the Cinderella story aspect of running into the playoffs, getting your team on a good week against, as you said, a team that might not be playing their best football. And then you come out with a win, then your whole fan base is uproar, and there's other teams in uproar. There's stories to be made out of them. People love the stories. The Giants in their last Super Bowl, you know, beating the Giants and coming down with the Super Bowl. Like, they're brilliant stories, and everybody loves to tell these stories. I think that coming away from that kind of stuff, I prefer if they could come a bit back towards it.
Yeah, for sure. And that's it. With this scenario, it does give that chance. Like you're saying, look, one of the matchups is Tampa Bay against Detroit. And we saw what happened last Saturday. And, like, you know, that's obviously not, that's something that people won't view to see again, but there's always that, you always have that thing in the back of your head is, well, what if they don't do that again? What if Matt Stafford is back this week and he can outthink Tom Brady? What if Tom Brady is having a bad week this week? And, you know, I think it lends itself more to sort of, yeah, like grand, like storylines, which I'm sure would be like a journalist's dream for sure. But it's not the NFL NFL's dream, because that's it. They want their top guys standing on that podium every year, holding up the Lombardi Trophy. They had it with Brady for years. And, you know, I think they're obviously making it that they want it for Mahomes now for the next like 10, 15 years as well, as much as he can too. But sure, we'll see what happens there. Hopefully we can get the NFL to listen to this podcast and play my idea. You don't have to pay me much for it. I'm always open for negotiations, so don't worry about that. We'll move on to this weekend's games, and we're going to actually spend a little bit of time talking about the possible playoff scenarios that are going to be coming out, because as it is with every year, the last game of the season is always interdivisional games. And this year is definitely a very interesting year in terms of how many teams can still make the playoffs. Obviously, with Jake and with Fionn's teams in the NFC East, there's still chances for both of them to make it to the playoffs this year by winning the division. Obviously, for Fionn's Washington team, it's fairly straightforward. For Jake, you need a little bit of help from the Eagles this week, which I'm sure you love saying. You're going to love saying. But just a little scenario. So at the moment in the NFC East, the Cowboys are traveling to take on the Giants. If the Cowboys win and Washington lose, they win the NFC East. The Giants, the same scenario. If they beat the Cowboys and Washington lose, they win in the NFC East. And then for Washington, traveling to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles, winner, you're out. Pretty much. So I'll start with you, Jake. How confident or nervous are you heading into this week, purely from a Giants perspective?
Let's just say I'm not very confident. We had our little run of the four games. We had the little win streak. Everything was great. It was all daisies. It was lovely. But then we came crashing down to earth, and it was just like any other day of the week for a Giants fan, is just crushing loss after crushing loss. Now, the Cowboys are a terrible team as well, so you never know what's going to end up happening in that side of things. Do I think there's a chance that the Giants beat the Cowboys? Of course I do. I mean, it's division rivals. We always love to play each other. We lost earlier on in the season to them. Let's see how we fare this time. Kind of came back into our own, so maybe we get a little bit of a good look or something. And then on the other side, with the football team playing the Eagles, that's going to be tough. Now I have to see. Well, maybe I'll know a little bit early now. If the Giants win or lose, I'll know early. If they lose, then I'll know not to even look at the score the following day for the football team. It's definitely something. It's the most excited I've been in this late into the season for the NFL.
I was just going to say, like, do you think it's a good... I'll open this up to both you guys. Do you think it's a good idea to have these games on at different times? Or would you prefer them both at the same time?
I think for this scenario, with the football team being the leading of the division, I think it's good to have them separate, because it lets the Cowboys or Giants fan sweat a little bit, you know? You know, for us, in the European side of things, it's at 1 a.m, is it? Something like that. So,
yeah,
I'm not going to watch that. You'll probably watch that, Fionn. I'll wake up in the morning and I'll probably watch the condensed version and cry or be extremely happy. So,
mm-hmm. I think Dara, yeah, it's a tricky one. There's benefits to both. Obviously, the drama of the side by side. We see it in a lot of other sports. Tend to do final day games all kicking off at the same time, and you get multi-channel boxes and scores are rolling in, and it can be quite interesting. There's certainly an advantage as well to splitting them out for the NFL in terms of just revenue of, well, in all the Giants fans, if you're in America, they're all going to watch them try and beat the Cowboys. And if they succeed, then they're definitely all going to watch the Washington game to see if they lose. So there's definitely benefits. I don't think it's any great surprise that the NFL has gone for the schedule that gives them the most money, for sure. But yeah, for me, going back to your original question, I think of the three franchises that have a shot, I'd definitely rather be in my seat right now, but it's definitely not a comfortable seat whatsoever. With the exception of last season, where we were utterly miserable, the three seasons prior to that, we had a chance to make the playoffs in each of those seasons. All win and you're in scenarios, and we failed in every single one. So we're not a team that shows a lot of bottle in these scenarios. Alex Smith has been around these scenarios before, so hopefully he's fit. He can come in and steer us. I think It's a game perfectly suited to him. I think we have enough in our defense to handle the Eagles, and we just need a game manager who's going to keep a cool head and get the guys going a little bit. I don't know what McLaurin's situation is. He could be very big if we get him back in time, but I'm not 100% sure what his reason for sitting out last week's was, so I don't know if that's a quick turnaround or not. But yeah, so in summary, I'd definitely rather be where I am, but it's definitely not a comfortable seat. It's a little bit warm.
Yeah, and that is the one thing that Washington have dealt with now these last few weeks is a lot of injuries. They've had to make do with a quarterback that they actually didn't even want out of the books, because as soon as the game ended on Sunday, they kicked him out the door, which of course is Dwayne Haskins. There is a chance Phil or Alex Smith could be back this week. Kerry McLaurin, I still don't know about. And obviously, you had Antonio Gibson back last week as well. So you do have some pieces of the puzzle back. And I think for everybody, you want to see all those names back on the pitch just to give, obviously, Washington the best chance possible. And also to give the viewer the best chance possible to get a fantastic game between, obviously, themselves and the Eagles, who are just basically playing for pride at this point, because obviously their loss last week means that they are officially eliminated. But that's not the only playoff scenario in the NFC that still has to be accounted for. There's still three teams vying for two wildcard places, and that is, of course, the Cardinals, the Bears, and the Rams. So the Cardinals and the Rams are actually facing each other this week in LA. Both teams could have their backup quarterbacks playing. Obviously, we know Jared Goff is out with a broken thumb, which he just got operated on Monday. So 10 points for anyone who knows the backup quarterback to LA.
Not a clue. I was about to ask.
I don't even know either. All I know is he's never taken a snap in the NFL. But Blake Bortles is going to be his backup on Sunday as well. So obviously he must be better than Blake Bortles. The Chicago Bears are also the other team who are still in playoff contention. They are actually facing the Packers, who are still actually going for the number one seed as well. So you won't be getting a Packers taking things easy that week either. So the scenario is simple enough. Between the Cardinals and the Rams, if they win, they're in. If they lose, they have to look at the other game, which is the Bears and the Packers, because the Bears win, they're in. But if the Cardinals lose, they also go in. So the Bears will be hoping for a Rams win either way as well. So where are those three sides and their games coming up? Who would you think has, which two teams do you think have the best opportunity to make it into those last few wildcard spots? I'll start with you, Phil.
Ironically enough, I think in this scenario, it's the two teams facing each other. I think it's the Cardinals against the Rams. That's mostly based on how well Aaron Rodgers has been playing. He dismantled the Titans last weekend. Like you mentioned, they're full go. There's nobody rested. They want that bye week. There's only one. They're super rare this season, so they're going full go. I don't believe the Bears are a good football team. I don't like to watch them play. I'd much rather see the Cardinals and the Rams in the playoffs. Hopefully, if the Rams do make it into the playoffs, that Goff comes back. I actually think he's quite a good quarterback, or certainly better than Mr. No Name, who we currently don't even know who's going to be in there. So definitely, I think if you're a Cardinals fan, you're going to be a little bit nervous, but at least it's a team like the Packers that are coming up against the Bears, who already don't like the Bears, even at the best of times. So you couldn't have asked for a better final game if you're hoping for a Bears loss.
I'm kind of in the middle here, because while the Packers are an explosive team and they're very exciting to watch, my very good friend is a huge Packers fan, is probably the most smug person I've ever met in my entire life. So I am not looking forward to his smugness in that. Although I would look forward to watching the Packers in the old playoffs. On the Rams front, I just Googled it there. John Walford is the Rams backup quarterback, who is now starting this week.
What college did he come out of?
I'm not too sure. I'll find out. But on the other side, I believe Kyler Murray will be back in the game. That's what he said on Twitter, I think. But so it might not be backup v backup. We'll see how that goes. I think the Cardinals should win that one if Kyler is back.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If the Cardinals win, they are still in a scenario where they may not actually even make the playoffs. So they are hoping for a Bears loss either way. They are the only team in it that is actually looking for other results to go their way to get into the playoffs. But we'll see what happens on... Or actually, no, sorry, they're not. I'm sorry, I apologize. They're not. They are still, they get, if they beat the Rams, they go, they win anyway. They go through anyway. Sorry, that's my mistake. It's just that they don't have a backup if they lose. If they lose, they're out anyway. If the Rams lose, and I think if the Bears lose, then the Rams can still go out in as well. Okay. Let's have a look at the AFC because there's still four teams vying for three wildcard spots. And that's the Ravens, the Browns, the Colts, and the Dolphins. Pretty simple for three of those teams, which is the Ravens, the Bears, and the Dolphins. If they win, they're in. So the Dolphins are traveling to the Bills. The Browns are at home to the Steelers and will be facing backup quarterback Mason Rudolph in that game. It's been announced today. So it'll be Myles Garrett against Mason Rudolph again. And then the Ravens are traveling to take on the Cincinnati Bengals to get in. So their scenarios is, like I said, they get in if they win. The Colts, on the other hand, are facing the Jaguars. They can win their division if the Titans lose their game. Now, that's and that's a pretty tall task as well, especially because the Titans are going up to play the Texans. So you'd imagine they'd be able to take care of business there, no problem. Also, if they want to get into the playoffs, just they have to win, and either the Dolphins, the Browns, or the Ravens are going to have to lose. So obviously, the three teams there are in the driving seat, and the Colts are hoping for a few other things to happen for them to get in. But, Jake, I'll start with you. Do you think that we are going to see those three teams win at the weekend, the Ravens, the Browns, and the Dolphins?
Well, I think the Ravens will win this weekend. I'd really like to see the Dolphins win, but I don't see that happening. I'm not sure. The Bills have clinched the AFC East, so I'm not sure whether they're going to be starting their starters like Josh Allen, stuff like that. If they don't, might give the Dolphins a good chance. But
well, they can't go up in seeding either. They've got the third seed locked up because of the Steelers win at the weekend. They're going to be second seed.
Okay. Well, and then who else have we got then?
The Browns going up against the Steelers.
The Browns against the Steelers. I think the Steelers have already said they're resting a few of their starters, so this might be the Browns' chance to get back in.
Yeah, for sure. And see, the thing is, for the Browns, they're going to have to come back off that pretty demoralizing defeat against the Jets at the weekend for a team that threw the ball 50 times to no wide receivers. You've got to ask some questions there for sure if they couldn't get the run game going against the Jets and against a team like the Steelers, who have a really, really good defensive line. We'll have to see if they can actually try and establish the run in that game. But Fionn, what do you think about the three out of four? Are you thinking that it's going to be the Ravens, Browns and Dolphins, or do you still think the Colts have a chance?
Yeah, I think it is going to be those three teams. Definitely, as I said, with the football team, anytime you're in that win and you're in, control your own destiny, as the NFL likes to say, that's definitely the most comfortable place to be. The Colts are struggling, like you said, with relying on the Texans, who have not played well at all this season. They did get a rally call from J.J. Watt. Is that going to be enough to turn them from a terrible football team to a good football team? Probably not. Looks good on Twitter and Instagram, but I'm not sure how much actual football that improves. And again, the two other teams, the two teams, the Dolphins and the Dolphins and the Browns that had to win to stay in, who are playing good teams in the Bills and in the Steelers, do get lucky in that both those teams have clinched. And really, if you're an NFL team playing against a squad that is resting players, you should be expecting to win those games. So I think the safe money is definitely on the Dolphins, the Ravens, and the Browns to all make the playoffs.
Okay. Well, here's hoping that we do get a little bit of drama on Sunday, because it always makes it a little more fun. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we are going to actually go through every game in week 17 of the season and give our predictions for that.
First off, Merry Christmas.
Terrible towels twirling.
Merry Christmas. Off we go from Pittsburgh. So Arrowhead Stadium on this Christmas night, already rocking.
Hey, running this damn snow.
And snow angels for Trubisky and the fellas.
JV was like, snow angels.
They got it off. The kick on the way. Hand over end. The kick is up. And it is no good. And the Browns have won it. And it's 0-14 no more on Christmas Eve. The Browns are a winner.
Thank you, guys. Merry Christmas.
And welcome back to the second part of the NFL show here on the ASI podcast. I am your host, Dara, joined by Fionn and Jake, as always. Before we get into our predictions, don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/ASI podcast. We're on Instagram at ASI podcast, and we're on Twitter at ASI_pod. But let's get into our game week 17 predictions, and we are going to start with the NFC East. We're going to go with the Cowboys traveling to New York to take on the Giants. Jake, I'll let you go first on this one.
I'm going to have to say the Giants. I think this is a 50-50. It's a division game. Neither team are particularly strong. Giants have a good defense, weak offense. Cowboys have a weak defense and a somewhat okay offense. They're able to put up the points, maybe not against this stingy Giants defense. So I'll take the Giants on it anyway.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys offense has been playing better in the last couple of games. Dalton seems to have got his feet underneath them, but I despise them so much that I'm going to rely on Jake's knowledge of that Giants defense, and I hope he's correct that it can shut down the Cowboys. So I'm going to take the Giants in this one.
Okay, I'm going to go with the Giants as well in this one. I think that their defense, I think, is more superior than the Giants' offense. One, Jason Garrett is going to be calling plays on the offense for the Giants, and I think he'll know one or two things about the defense weaknesses of the Cowboys. So I think that'll be enough for them to get in. Will it be enough for them to make the playoffs? We'll find out in a few minutes' time. The next game is the New York Jets traveling to Foxborough to take on the New England Patriots in what is going to, I'm sure, be a very, very strange game for the Patriots, seeing as this is their last game of the season and you do not have a playoff game to look forward to next week at least. I'll start off with this one, and I'm actually going to go for the Jets, and they're going to be my surprise of the week. I think that Belichick, I think, is just going to call it. I think he's just like, lads, this season's done. Let's get the best draft position possible so we can maybe draft a quarterback now in the new year. We'll see. I think that the Jets have lost in Trevor Lawrence anyway. They won't be. I don't think they can move from position two, whether they win or lose. So, yeah, let's Adam Gase go out with a win. And Sam Darnold possibly to go out with a win with the Jets beating the Patriots. Fionn, what do you think?
I agree with you, Dara. I'm going to follow you on this one. Jets are my underdog of the week, and I'll be paying close attention to this game. Some of our listeners who have listened to our early shows will have heard our predictions. Mine was that a one Mr. Cameron Newton will not be the quarterback of the New England Patriots in the final game of the season. The scenario has played out exactly as I planned it in my brains. And so I am hoping and praying that Mr. Belichick will want to see Stidham in action for 60 minutes and that he will drop Mr. Newton, and so my predictions will come true.
I'm going to take the Jets as well. I'm sick of this Patriots QB carousel where they get sick of Cam Newton not being able to hit open receivers and then just throwing Jared Stidham to the Wolves. I'm kind of sick. Well, I was sick of Patriots fans for a very long time because they just always assumed that no matter what was going to happen, they would be in the playoffs, they'd probably get to the Super Bowl, and they'd probably win it for the past 6-7 years. I'd like the Jets to beat them. I feel like this is like kind of a bit of a payback game for Jets fans just from being the bottom feeders of the AFC East for so long.
All right, then we will go to the AFC for this next game, stay in the AFC, and it's the Baltimore Ravens traveling to the Bengals to hopefully cement a playoff position. Fionn, I'm going to let you go first on this one.
Yeah, I don't think this one is particularly hard. Ravens in a win and you're in scenario against a not a particularly good Bengals team. I'm going to take the Ravens in this one.
Yeah, a Burrowless Bengals, I don't think are going to be very effective against the Ravens. So I'm going to take the Ravens to pick at the Bengals.
Grant, and I think you have that as your lock, isn't it, as well this week?
Yeah, I meant to mention that's my lock of the week also.
Perfect. I'm going to go with the Ravens as well. I think they had their showcased end of season win last week against the Texans. And I think this week, I think the Ravens, unfortunately, are going to run all over this defense and march in to the playoffs. The Steelers, with Mason Rudolph on their center, is going to be taking on the Cleveland Browns. The Browns hoping to cement or take one of those other playoff positions that's left. I'll go first on this one. I'm actually going to go with the Browns to win this game. I think that's they will do enough to win this. Hopefully, they will have some wide receivers back. Now, I heard some news today that an assistant coach has been diagnosed with COVID in the camp, and they are currently in the process of doing contact tracing. So we don't know who could be missing for the Browns this weekend. We'll just have to wait and see. But I still think they will win this game because the Steelers are just making sure they get out of the game healthy for the playoffs. Jake, what do you think?
Yeah, as you mentioned about the positive case and the contact tracing for close contacts, I believe there was one extra player. He wasn't named yet, but there was one player that was deemed close contact.
Oh, I think it was a practice squad player.
Was it? Okay, I missed that. I'm still going to take the Browns anyway. I think the Steelers are just going to tell everybody take a night off and rest your weary bones.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. This is actually going to be my lock of the week, so much so in that as we mentioned before, Steelers are a team that are already done. They're locked in. If you're an NFL team and you can't beat a team on what is essentially the closest thing to a bye week you can get, then I don't think it's worth much. So I'm going to take the Browns in this one over the Steelers and hoping, like you guys have mentioned, that the COVID doesn't affect anyone too serious. Also, it will be interesting to see if we get another brawl in this game, especially if the Steelers are winning and the Browns' tensions get a little bit high, maybe. We'll see how many helmets start going flying. That might be quite entertaining to watch.
Here's hoping for another fight. They're always fun between the Browns and the Steelers. I'm looking forward to that. The Vikings are traveling to Detroit to take on the Lions in a match that means absolutely nothing. So in that sense, I'll let Jake go first with his prediction.
I'm going to go with the Vikings. The Lions, for me, haven't been particularly outstanding, and I'm still not sure whether Matt Stafford is alive or being a Weekend at Bernie's held up by strings that we can't see, because that's what it sometimes looks like.
I am going to take the Lions in this one, if only just so, well, for two reasons. One, I strongly dislike Kirk Cousins, and secondly, Dara's prediction was it not that the Bears would finish with a worse record than the Vikings, and so a Vikings loss would assure that that would not happen. Actually, that cannot happen at all, can it?
No. I also said they'd make the playoffs, but they can't do that either.
Look, okay, I'm going to take pity on Dara, and I'm just going to say the Lions because I don't like Kirk Cousins.
Thank you very much, Fionn. But I'm also totally out of the Vikings party. I'm not part of that anymore. They are forever in the bad books for me for letting me down with this hot take. And I'm actually also going to go for the Lions in this game myself, mostly because the Vikings are going to look like they might be without Dalvin Cook, because unfortunately the news came through today that his father passed away. So he's going to be traveling back, I think, to Florida to obviously to look after his family and attend the funeral. So best wishes to the Cook family and to Dalvin in this difficult time. But in the terms of prediction, I'm going to take the Lions for that reason. The Dolphins are traveling to Buffalo to take on the Bills, hoping that they can secure a playoff spot. I will go first on this one, and I'm actually going to go with the Dolphins to win this game because I do think that the Bills are going to rest a few players. I think we won't see the likes of Josh Allen, maybe. We might not see Stephon Diggs. Some of the defense might take a night off too. So I think it will be an opportune time for the Dolphins to get into the playoffs, so that's why I'm going to pick them. Fionn, what do you think?
Yeah, the third of our win on your in teams. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the show. I agree with you. I think the Dolphins should have enough to be, if not an underpowered Bills team, perhaps an undermotivated Bills team. So I'm going to take the Dolphins in this.
Yeah, like you too, I'm going to take the Dolphins. This is dependent on whether they rest all their starters, which I think they will, the Bills. I would really like to see the Dolphins get in to the playoffs because I like Tua, and I think the Dolphins just, they need a win.
Well, they got that win last week thanks to that like best no-look pass you'll ever see in your life.
I mean, playoff win. Get into the playoffs. That's a win, I mean.
That's a win. Okay, so the Falcons are traveling to Tampa Bay to take on the Bucs. Bucs already have their playoff spot secured, but I still think there's some question marks about where they're going to be seated. So they still have an excuse to start their starters. For that reason, I'm going to go with the Bucs to win this game. Jake, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bucs as well. The Falcons have been utter dog poo over the course of this season. I don't like the Falcons. I feel like I said this last week, they should have blown the whole thing up, but I'm going to take the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I don't know how many times Tom Brady can come back against the Falcons and win, but on this occasion, I don't think he's going to have to. I don't think the Falcons have two performances like that in them this close together, so I'm going to take the Buccaneers as well.
The Las Vegas Raiders are going to finally end their season against the Denver Broncos. The Raiders, of course, who have just imploded in this second half of the season and have basically played themselves out of playoff contention. Fiona, I'm going to let you pick first on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Raiders in this one. Broncos have been fairly uninspiring this season, and I like the Raiders' run game. I think that's going to come through strongly in this game. So I'm going to take the Raiders over the Broncos first.
Yeah, I'm sticking with you on this, and I'm going to take the Raiders. The Broncos have been very underwhelming, and Drew Lock has just not been showing me a lot of confidence, or I haven't got confidence in him, rather.
Yeah, I'm actually going with the Broncos in this game. I think they have had a poor season, but I think the Raiders have been worse these last few weeks. They have just... I don't know what. They've tried their best to play themselves out of games. And I think now that they're completely out of playoff race, I just don't think they'll care. You might see a bit of Marcus Mariota this game. I think that the Raiders' defense is extremely poor. And so for that reason, I'm going to go with the Broncos to win this game in Denver. The Jacksonville Jaguars are traveling to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. Of course, the Colts need to win this game and hope other results go their way to make it into the playoffs. I'm going to go first on this one, and I say the Colts are going to do their part, and they are going to win this game, and I'm so confident that they're going to do it. They're going to be my lock of the week, that they're going to beat the Jaguars. They somehow let, I think, what was it, a 17-point lead drop against the Steelers last week, didn't score at all in the second half. They'll have to right that wrong to, one, get in the playoffs, and two, to right any wrongs going into the playoffs, because you do that in the playoffs, you're losing that game. So I think the Colts can get it right, and it's the perfect opponent to try and get it right against. So to beat the Jags, and that'll be the lock of the week. Fionn, I'll let you go next.
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Dara. Another one of these, if you're a Colts team and you have to win, you should be beating the Jaguars. They haven't got a whole heap to play for. In fact, they nearly have incentive not to play at all. And like you said, the Colts want a bounce back game, and it came against the perfect opponent. So I'm going to take the Colts with you on this.
Yeah, I'm sticking with you guys. The Colts are definitely going to win this one. I mean, the Jags definitely don't want to win another match. Not that it matters. They've clinched the number one pick of the draft. I don't know. It's definitely a bonus when you get Trevor Lawrence out of that pick. And I just don't think there's anything else on that Jaguars team. I believe they're missing the running back that's been the star of that team.
Yeah, and Mike Lennon's gone back in as star for quarterback this weekend as well. Just to throw a little petrol onto the fire here, the Colts are the only team to lose against the Jaguars this season all the way back in week one. So you never know. Could they do the double over them this year?
That was peak Minshew mania, which clearly isn't happening now.
The Seattle Seahawks are traveling to Arizona to take on the 49ers. The Seahawks are still in with a chance to get the one seed. although it is a very, very long shot. You need a lot of results to go their way, including two losses from the Saints and the Packers. And that's, even though there's a chance, Pete Carroll has said he is going to start his starters. And, of course, the 49ers have absolutely no one left. Add Richard Sherman to the list of injuries who won't be playing this week. Jimmy Garoppolo, although coming back off IR, is definitely not going to be playing this week. So they're still going to continue with CJ Beathard. You know, you got George Kittle there. Jeff Wilson played a good game last week, but I still think the Seahawks are going to have too much for the 49ers, and I'm going to go with the Seahawks win in this game. Jake, what do you think?
Yeah, this one's a nice matchup for the Seahawks. I think even if the 49ers were the one seed, they wouldn't have any backups to play because they're all playing the backups. I like Russell Wilson. I like DK Metcalf. The run game of the Seahawks looks good, so I think that could probably win this them.
Yeah, heavy hitting game. The 49ers are absolutely crushed by injuries and have been all season. I'm going to take the Seahawks in this one.
Perfect. The New Orleans Saints, who were also vying for that number one seed, are traveling to Carolina to take on the Panthers. Fiona, I'll let you go first on this one.
Yeah, they stung us last week, the Washington football team, that is. That was not a pleasant game for me to watch, especially given it was giving me flashbacks of another win in your in scenario that we couldn't get it done. No surprise, the quarterback didn't last very long after the final whistle. I'm going to take the Saints over the Panthers in this one. I don't believe really the Panthers are that good. When Heinicke came on, he did do quite a bit of damage in that final quarter, so, or even half a quarter. So I'd be a little bit nervous of the Panthers, so I'm going to take the Saints in this one.
Yeah, I was kind of watching that game out of the pure implications that it kind of held for the New York Giants. Heinicke did come in and do a decent job as someone coming off the bench, but I still think the Saints' defense is quite strong. Drew Brees is always going to be Drew Brees, so he's always going to come in with a chance. So it's got to be the Saints.
Yeah, I would love to be able to say that the Saints are going to lose this game and give a chance for the Seahawks to get the number one seed, but I just can't see it. I just can't see how Teddy Bridgewater, with his confidence on the ground at the moment, to be able to do any damage to this Saints defense. I don't think. They had a very high-scoring game in the game earlier on in the year, which the Saints came out on top. Alvin Kamara, fresh off, you know, just 6 touchdowns in one game last week, has more than Zeke has in the whole season, which is a hot take I got right, Fionn, by the way, by saying that Cam Newton would have more rushing touchdowns than Zeke this year. So, look, even 1-1, I'll take it for this year for sure. But I am going to go with the Saints to win this game. The other team, the third and final team vying for the number one seed in the NFC this year, the Green Bay Packers, are going up against the Bears, who are trying to secure their own playoff spot. Let's see. Jake, I'll let you go first on this one.
Okay, here's where I'm at this game. As I said previously, my best friend is a Packers fan, most smug man alive. But I do have a bet on that if the Packers clinch the number one seed, another friend of mine is going to eat a shoe. Well, we'll make him eat a shoe, but that's so. I want the Packers to win. I want to see that happen.
Yeah, I think for me, it's a little bit of a no-brainer. Aaron Rodgers has something to play for, and he's playing exceptionally well. The Bears haven't done well at all this season. Very, very average, so I'm going to take the Packers in this one.
Again, I would love to be able to say the Packers are going to stumble against the Bears and they won't get the number one seed. But now that there's shoe eating involved in this, I'm going to have to go with the Packers to win this game. Everyone loves to see someone eat a shoe. So I'm going to go with the Packers to win this and the Bears to lose and probably miss out on the playoffs as well, which will be very interesting as well to see if Matt Nagy would keep his job if that was to happen. Anyway, we'll move on to the Tennessee Titans traveling to Houston to take on the Texans. The Titans are still have to win this game to make sure that they win their division and make it to the playoffs. And I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to beat the Texans. The Texans clearly have thrown the towel in for this year. Like you mentioned before the break, Fionn, these rah-rah speeches by J.J. Watt are all well and good, but I don't think they're doing much to didn't put any confidence into the team heading into the last game of the season. So I'm going to go with a Titans win in this. And watch for a sneakily good game. Not sneakily, because he ran over them last year as well. But Derrick Henry has a chance for 2,000 yards for the season. Rushing, he needs a lot. I think he needs over 200 yards rushing to get it. But let's just see if he can. So I'm going to go with a Titans win on this. Fionn, what do you think?
Yeah, big Titans win. Another one of these. You have to win it against a team that doesn't have anything to play for. So I'm always going to pick the team with something at stake. Titans to win. I don't think Henry's going to get enough yards to reach 2,000, but a super season he's had, and look for him to continue that on the ground against the Texans.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Titans myself. The Texans just have really not looked good these past few weeks. They were struggling against the Bengals, and that's saying something. I mean, it would be really nice if Henry could get them 200 yards, and much like the Saints pushing for that six-touchdown game for Alvin Kamara to tie the six-touchdown record that was currently. So he's tying it now. I think maybe they'll push Henry a little bit, but maybe they won't because of the playoffs.
Cardinals are facing the Rams in LA for a playoff spot. Both teams could get into the playoffs if certain things go their way, but realistically, is the winner makes the playoffs, the loser goes home. So it is sort of a mini playoff game in itself. Jake, I'll let you go first on this one.
I'm going to go with the Cardinals. I believe Murray is back. He said he's going to be playing. And if you're playing a guy who's never taken an NFL snap, who is from Wake Forest, Fionn, I know you were asking earlier. I'm going to take the team with the number one overall pick in the lineup, even if he has a dodgy leg.
Yeah, we've discussed this before. Our general guts usually tell us if you can't split the teams, if you don't have the knowledge or you're not sure, go look at quarterback versus quarterback. As Jake pointed out, a number one seed against a guy from Wake Forest no one's ever heard of. I'm going to take the Cardinals in this one as well.
Yeah, I'm taking the Cardinals too. So that's another clean sweep in this. I think the last two games for the Rams has been a lot more demoralizing than people think. You know, Jared Goff did not play well in those two games. Obviously, he won't be playing in this game either. The likes of Hassan Reddick, who's finishing this season so well, who was actually playing for a contract. He's going to be a free agent, so he's going to be looking at admirers. Maybe the Rams could be one of them. So I think that it's going to be a very difficult afternoon for the Rams, and I think that the Cardinals are going to win this game. The last of the half nine games is the LA Chargers traveling to take on the Chiefs. I'm going to go with this one. And this is a surprise, but I'm going with the Chargers. We've found out that a lot of the starters for the Chiefs are going to be sitting, including Patrick Mahomes. So I think that's going to be the second string Chiefs side. Chargers want to finish the season on a high. Justin Herbert wants to make sure he cements that Rookie of the Year honor. And what better way to do it than to win at the home of the Super Bowl champions on the last game of the season. So I'm going to go with a Chargers win. Fionn, what do you think?
I am going to go against you here and in what I think is a little bit of a surprise. And I'm going to take the second string Chiefs to beat the Chargers. I think this is going to be a high scoring game. I think Herbert's going to have a good few passing touchdowns. And I believe Chad Henne has been announced as the starting quarterback for the Chiefs. I think his incentive is going to be, I want to be the backup and win possibly four or maybe five Super Bowl rings, cleaning Patrick Mahomes' boots. And the way I do that is go out and shoot the lights out against these Chargers teams. So I'm going to take the Chiefs to win this game.
I'm going to go with the Chargers myself. I think backup quarterbacks are pretty rough when it comes to winning games. Unless you've got a seasoned veteran, say Andy Dalton, he's been able to handle himself quite well. But for this, I'm taking Justin Herbert. He's already passed the rookie TD record, I believe. So this would only further cement that Rookie of the Year award for him. I'm going to take the Chargers.
Okay, in the last game of week 17 and the last game of the regular season is the Sunday Night Football. It's Washington football side team going to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. Fionn, you are the Washington fan. I'll let you make your prediction first.
Yeah, it's all eyes on us. We do not cope very well with these scenarios, but you have to break that at some stage. We've an amazing defensive line. Chase Long has played very well. I think Alex Smith would cap an amazing comeback season for him. It's been a little bit annoying to have to listen to his story every single game with a new set of commentators who want to add their own little touch to the story. But I think we can do it. I believe positivity. If I believe, they believe. So I'm going to take the Washington football team to beat the Eagles.
Now, I just can't win this one at all. I've been in the NFC East, the football team have been my least hated team of them all. But ever since coming onto this podcast, they've slowly crept up that list, and it might be a certain person in this call now that has pushed them up the list of the most hated of the NFC East teams. I like the fact that Taylor Heineken played a lot of first-team snaps this week, so does that bode well for Alex Smith? I'm hoping personally not, because he has played pretty well. I'm going to take the Eagles. It's going to be my surprise of the week, and I'm hoping it really upsets Fiona on this one.
I think it might do. Well, I think you'd be more upset that they actually lost, whether you predicted them to lose or not. But, you know, I like the comeback story. I mentioned that I like the Alex Smith story. It was one of the highlights of 2020, which has been obviously been a shit year. But I'm going to go with Washington, and I think they are going to. I'm sorry, Jake. I know you want your Giants to make it to the playoffs. But, look, I think that the defense alone is going to be something that is going to bring – get them through this game. Jalen Hurts, you know, he obviously faced a tough defense in the Saints, but, you know, the Saints had no video on him. They didn't know what was going to happen. The Washington team can prepare for Hurts this week, and I think Chase Young is definitely going to feast a lot more than he did, obviously, last week, and which he had a great game last week as well. But I'm going to go with a Washington win, and I think they're going to win the NFC East, and they're going to make it into the playoffs to face... more than likely, I think it's the Saints you'll end up, or who's it? No, will it be the Saints? No.
I think at the moment, as it stands, it's the Rams that we face.
Yes, because no, it'd be the Bucks, wouldn't it? Because they're fifth seed.
This was before the end of the games last week.
Yeah. Okay. I think at the moment it's the Bucks because they're the fifth seed, and obviously you guys would be the fourth seed. So I think it'd be the Bucks that you end up facing, which could be interesting. I'd really look forward to seeing that game. That defense against Tom Brady would be an interesting.
If we make it to the playoffs, we're going to be a worry for whichever team we come up against. That defense is good enough to cause problems. If it's good enough to win a game, I don't know. If the offense is good enough to win the game, I don't know. But definitely not a gimme that everyone might have scoffed at if you mentioned that the Washington football team was going to be in the playoffs at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so for that reason, I'm going to go with Washington. So that is our lot for our predictions this week, and that is our lot for the show. Before we go, make sure you follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ASI podcast. We are at ASI podcast on Instagram and at ASI_pod on Twitter too. Make sure if you are listening to us on the ASI podcast channel, you switch over to the Dynamo Podcast Network, because from next week, that is where all of our podcasts are going to be from exclusively on. So we won't be uploading to the ASI channel anymore. So make sure you are subscribed to that, because there's so many other great podcasts, not just NFL. You've got, you've got pop culture ones. You've got, if you like your wrestling, there's football. There is some great interviews on that as well. Some music podcasts too. So a lot of stuff to listen to there, not just obviously football, but you obviously will hang around for the football. Lads, thanks so much as always for coming on, and a happy new year to you both, and a happy new year to everyone from the ASI podcast. We hope you have a happy and healthy new year, and you enjoy all the games on Sunday, and we will speak to you again in 2021.